weeks. So I need a minute because I need to get back from West Virginia in my mind and in my heart. So, oh man, thank you guys very much. Well, there's nothing like when your computer and the monitor in your worship center don't project the thing the same way. So anyway, welcome to the living room this morning. Really glad that you're here. And I added a couple of things on our coffee table, and I'll leave those for your interpretation. If you ever want to know, just ask me. But we're really glad that you're here today. And we're really glad that those of you that are with us by the internet, we're glad that you're here as well. And for those of you that are on the internet, I want to ask you to do something for us. If you will like the broadcast, that'll help us know that you're here with us. And everyone that's here in person, I would like for you to open up your Facebook, check in here at the little ALF, show us some love, let your friends know where you are this morning, and that'll be awesome. And as you do that, I want to give you just a few things in the way of upcoming events. Remember, as always, today's notes are available to you free in the YouVersion Bible app. Next Sunday, we're looking forward to having Bible study on campus, in person again. Yes, yes. So we're very excited about that, and we hope that you will avail yourself of that. Now, that does not affect our online ministries. Those will remain in place, and we will be. So don't worry. We're not losing anything. We're adding. We're adding value, I think, is the corporate name, the corporate way. Also, I'd like to say thank you again for your continued giving, and you can give online. And for those of you here in the worship center, if you want to give physically here, you can use the offering boxes in the foyer, and there's our physical address if you'd like to mail. And your giving makes ministry possible. Brother Steve Shermer, our missionary to the Far East, had a birthday this week, and I want you to know that a part of everything that you give helps Steve and his family be where he is and his team, and we're a part of that. And I want to say thank you on behalf of Steve, Janice, their family, and all of those who serve in the Silk Road Catalyst. And a few things coming up: our communion service on Palm Sunday, and then the Easter egg hunt, which means that's what these are about. So this is the time you get to have candy. And you have a legitimate biblical excuse. We would love for you to pick up a bag or two or three, take them home and fill them with candy. And if you want to do a 1-to-1 ratio, that's on you. If you want to do a 3-to-egg, 1-to-you ratio, that's okay. We're not here to judge. We'd just love to have your help filling up those eggs and have them back promptly, at least before, of course, Easter egg hunt. And then, of course, our Easter celebration is soon upon us. Let's remember those that we're praying for. Brother Bobby is back here in town doing his rehabilitation, so we're thankful for that. We're looking forward to maybe being able to see him a little more. And also, I'd like to add truck driver Jimmy to our prayer list. He's having a confab tomorrow with an orthopedic, and it will be the decision of surgery or no surgery. And you know what we want to pray for, right? So if you'd add truck driver Jimmy to your prayer list, that'd be awesome. So let's pray together, shall we? Father, we thank you for this day. And Father, we thank you for all the truths that we've just sang and so many more. Father, we pray today that you would give us a clear mind, an unfettered heart to hear, to understand, and to receive your word. Father, I pray for each and every one who are hearing this message today. I pray, Lord, that you would push back everything that might distract them, discourage them. Father, I pray that we can have just a few moments with you. Father, I pray that you'd have your will and your way in each and every heart, beginning with mine. And Lord, I ask that you would remember your servant. Lord, I ask that you would give him clarity and passion as he proclaims your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, today we're continuing our look in the topic of a faith that walks through fire. Now, we're going to have to set a pretty good pace because I filled the truck up this week. So either I'm going to be a little paced or you're going to be a little long. We'll just see. We're just going to see, right? We're just going to see. So we are continuing our encounter with King Nebuchadnezzar.
Now, you know, we talked about the historicity of King Nebuchadnezzar, and he did some great things, he did some bad things, and King Nebuchadnezzar is kind of the hinge pin of the next several weeks as we study. King Nebuchadnezzar, if you remember from last week, had a dream. And he was disturbed or uncertain. He was motivated by this dream. The scripture says that he called together all of the great minds, all of the trusted counselors to come and to tell him not only what the dream meant, but he raised the bar up a notch and says, I'm not even going to tell you what the dream is. Not only do you have to tell me what it was, but you have to tell me what it meant. Now, that's a high bar. That's like me going, hey, what do you think I'm thinking? You know what? You couldn't. Because I think on three channels, you might guess one, but you're not going to get all three. Like right now, I'm still in West Virginia on channel three. I'm watching my little Appalachian Pentecostal grandma dance around that pot stove in the middle of her living room as she's playing the phonograph of I'll Fly Away in a bluegrass format. So if I ask you, hey, what do you think I'm thinking? You're not going to go, well, Grandma McGarry's little house up in the holler. You know why? Because you hadn't been there. It's a little piece of heaven. So it's a ridiculous ask, if we could just be honest. Hey, can you tell me what I'm thinking? And then can you tell me what it means? Well, he calls all the people together. He calls all of his counselors together. And they basically admit what they didn't know. King, I don't know. And the truth is no one knows. And the king took that so well, he decided he was going to kill them all. Now, that is a very quick-tempered man, right? And so the order goes out. The process begins. The sergeant of the guards arrives at Daniel's house. And Daniel goes, whoa, whoa, whoa. Can we just talk about this a minute? Could I have a night? What, just 24 hours? Could I have just some time and pray and maybe bring this answer? And not only did the guard, the leadership of the guard give him grace, but then he went to the king and the king gave him grace. He says, I'll give you 24 hours. And he immediately goes to his family of faith, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and others. And he goes, hey, you need to pray. Because if you don't pray, we may die. That's a great motivation to go to prayer meeting, isn't it? So they pray. And you know what? The Lord is always on time, amen? Now, he may not match my time frame, but the Lord is always on time. God answered the prayers of his people, and we'll see that beginning in Daniel chapter 2, verse 26. The king asked Daniel, are you able to tell me what I saw in my dream and interpret it? Daniel replied, no wise man, enchanter, magician, or diviner can explain to the king the mystery he has asked about. But, Ronnie, but, the afterbut experience, but, there's a God in heaven. Listen, you can come with me with anything, and listen, I have got the retort of retorts, but, there's a God in heaven who reveals mysteries. He has shown King Nebuchadnezzar what will happen in the days to come. Your dream and the visions that pass through your mind as you were lying in bed are these. But there's a God in heaven. I'm discouraged, but there's a God in heaven. I'm uncertain about the government, but there's a God in heaven. I'm uncertain about the virus, but there's a God in heaven. Every day, all day. There's a God in heaven. Daniel informs the king that he has an answer to the question and directs him to the source of that answer, the God in heaven. Can I ask you this? How often do you point to the source of your provision? The Bible says every good thing is given and every perfect gift is where? From above. If it's good and you've got it, that's where it came from. Now, you may work hard, you may earn the earthly resources, but my friend, who gives you the breath to live? Who gives you the strength to work? Who gives you the knowledge to understand, comprehend, and engage? The Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shifting shadow. He's never far off and he's never more close. He is. Every good and perfect gift. Ladies and gentlemen, I believe we need to be reminded and we need to be mindful that we point our world to the source of our hope. And it's the God in heaven. It's not a denomination. It's not a translation. It's not this song, that song, as great as they are. It's not this preacher, that preacher, as great as it is. It's not this church, that church, as great as they are. The source is heaven and God alone. So now Daniel begins to open up the books, as it were, to King Nebuchadnezzar. Now, if you ever wanted to get it right, this is the time. Because in my sanctified imagination, this is my thought. If Daniel misses the mark, he's the first to die. He'll not walk out of the room. He'll be the first head to roll, as it were. Daniel walked into that room with confidence that his God was an on-time God and his God was a knowledgeable God. And he begins, "As your majesty was lying there, your mind turned to things to come, and the revealer of mystery showed you what is going to happen." Who is that revealer? There's a God in heaven. "As for me, this mystery has been revealed to me." Why, Daniel? Are you just that good? Why, Daniel? Do you double tithe? Why, Daniel? "Not because I have greater wisdom than anyone else alive." No, it's not me. I'm just a vessel. I'm just an errand boy for the king. I'm just the Amazon of the good news. "But so that your majesty may know the interpretation that you may understand what went through your mind." Now, what can we easily overlook here? See, because you're already going, man, what was the dream? What does it mean? So you're already there. But you know what's amazing is if we're not careful, we will overlook or maybe not sample all of the hors d'oeuvres on the entree. There we go. First of all, is God is omniscient. That's a $5 word that seems to mean this: God knows everything. All day, every day. All time and every time. He knows the king and he knows his dreams. And brothers and sister, he knows you. He knows where you are. He knows where you've been. He knows where you're going. And he knows what you went through to get here. That God in heaven, who's always an on-time God, knows everything. If you don't know, trust in the fact that he knows. When you don't know what tomorrow holds, because you don't, trust in the fact that he's already there. When you don't know what 10 years from now holds, trust in the fact God is already there. Not only is he omniscient, he knows everything, but he's omnipresent, he's everywhere, past, present, and future. He knows future events. Now, I don't know about you, but that's encouraging to me as I come to the one-year anniversary of the COVID. 1 year ago today, when we told all of you, stay away. Can you believe it? And 5, 6 of us clustered up in here, and we started talking to that green light. 1 year ago, who would have known? Can I tell you who did know? And we go, well, it's a lost year. Well, my friends, there's not lost years with God. God just does something different. "Your majesty looked, and there was before you stood a large statue, an enormous, dazzling statue, awesome in appearance. The head of the statue was made of pure gold, its chest and arms of silver, its belly and thighs bronze, its legs of iron, its feet partly iron and partly baked clay." This is kind of what it looked like. That's incredible. That's a pretty vivid dream right there, isn't it? So now Daniel not only tells him what he's dreamed, but soon Daniel will tell him what it means. While you were watching, a rock was cut out, but not by human hands. It struck the statue on its feet of iron and clay and smashed them. Then the iron, the clay, the bronze, the silver, the gold, all were broken into pieces. It became like chaff on a threshing floor in summer. The wind swept them away without leaving a trace, but the rock that struck the statue became a huge mountain and filled the whole earth. I want you to understand what Daniel just said here. This is the threshing floor. This is the way a lot of the world separates wheat from the tares, wheat from the stalk. In this particular process right here, they just have human beings and cows clomp, 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 stomping away on it. And it begins to break that up, and it begins to separate up. Well, the last process of separation between discardable and valuable is one man or a team of men will take and they'll toss it into the air. You can see him. He tosses it into the air. Why? Because when the wind blows across, all of the chaff, all of the non-valuables get blown away. And what Daniel has said is that all of these metals and clay combined with metal, a great stone struck it. Not only did it struck it, but it destroyed it and it broke it. And then a wind simply comes and goes, as if they were never there. In the dream, we see a rock. We see a statue that was crushed. We see debris that was simply blown away. We see the rock become a huge mountain that fills the earth. Your Majesty, you are the King of Kings. The God of heaven has given you, don't overlook that. God raises up and he sits down. Ladies and gentlemen, don't allow the politics of earth to overrun your kingdom purposes, because God raises up and God sets down. He says he has given you your domain and your power and might and glory. In your hands he has placed all mankind and the beasts of the field and the birds in the sky. Wherever they live, he has made you ruler over them. He has made you ruler over them all. You are the head of gold. See, I'd have had him stop right there. That's all I need to know. Right? After you, another kingdom will arise inferior to yours. Well, okay, I like that. We can stop right now. Next, a third kingdom, one of bronze, will rule over the whole earth. Finally, there will be a fourth kingdom, strong as iron, for iron breaks and smashes everything. And as iron breaks things to pieces, so it will crush and break all the others. Just as you saw that the feet and the toes were partially baked of clay and iron, so this will be a divided kingdom. Yet it will have some of the strength of the iron in it, even as you saw iron mixed with clay. As the toes were partly iron and partly clay, so is the kingdom that will be partly strong and partly brittle. And just as you saw the iron mixed with the baked clay, so the people will be mixed and will not remain united. That sounds kind of like today. And more, that iron mixes with clay. So Daniel says that the head of gold is the Babylonian kingdom led by King Nebuchadnezzar. Now you remember what I said is we have a God who's what? Omniscient. He knows everything. See, this is important. Why? Because if God can get it right here, he can get it right here. Amen? And if he can get it right here, he can get it right on down the road. Let's not overlook what God has done here. Not only has he given him the dream, but now he's going to tell him what it means. This is the Babylonian Empire. That's a large swath of land, ladies and gentlemen, especially in the day in which it existed. The second kingdom is the Mede-Persian kingdom. Now, This is the map of the kingdom. You see, they expanded to the, well, actually, they were in the east and they expanded to the west. And you can see that it reaches into the Middle East and modern day Israel and the northern portion there of Africa and even into modern day Europe. The third kingdom is the Greek Empire, Alexander the Great, the man who simply mourned when there was nothing else left to conquer. And this is their empire, very similar, but you can still see even yet expansion to the west. And then the iron represents the Romans. That's probably the one you've heard the most about, because it was during the Roman Empire God did something really, really special. And so this is a map of the Roman Empire. Nebuchadnezzar may have been the most powerful, but the Romans, they did it really well. They basically owned the border of the entire Mediterranean Sea. Powerful and influential. They reached into modern day Europe and even into modern day England. Free stuff, Ronnie? So let me ask you this question. What makes the Roman Empire so valuable to you and I? Well, I'm glad that you asked. We call it the Pax Romana. That simply means a 200-year-long time span, which identifies as a period and golden age of increase and sustained Roman imperialism, order, prosperous stability. This was, albeit under the Roman boot, one of the most stable and prosperous times in human history. And you say, well, what does that mean to me? You ask such great questions. First, it allowed safe travel throughout the entire Roman Empire. They took law serious, and if you broke the law, they took it serious. If you went out robbing, stabbing, and stealing to get ahead, you know what? They might just get your head. Or worse, they'll put you on a cross and just wait. Secondly, there was a road system that connects towns that facilitated easier travel. There are still Roman roads today. And in Greenville, we don't have them. Boy, Snovid just kicked Greenville's streets in the tuchus. I am telling you what, I didn't realize I was in a war zone. Good night. Listen, the Romans have built roads 2,000 years later. They're in better condition than our roads. I said it. Greek became a common language used throughout the Roman Empire, much like English today. There was a common language. It wasn't necessarily the abandonment of the native language, but there was a common language. There was a language that you did business in. There was a place where people could meet together, much like English today. Finally, Rome was generally tolerant when it came to religious matters. The Romans simply said this, hey, you just do your thing. Now, the problem is if your thing gets in the way of our thing, we're going to kill your thing. But until then, it's kind of like China. China doesn't have a problem with Muslims and Christians until they become a problem. And then there's a problem. The word they use over there is crackdown. These provided the perfect environment for the gospel to spread quickly throughout the entire civilized world. This was the time, the perfect time for God to do something incredible, something eternity changing. And then the iron and the clay we look at as the end times. What does the end times kingdom look like? Well, depending on who you ask, that's what it looks like. This isn't a message on prophecy, so I'm not going to go there, but I'm very confident that what you see depicted there today, as fragmented and different as it is, will one day play a role in what God has already said will transpire. The Lord laid out the course of human history to a T. Now, you know, I'm amazed, you know, today, you know, baseball season's coming up, right? And we paid men multi-millions of dollars to get a hit about 3 times out of 10. If you can bat 300, you're killing it. And, you know, you can still make a really good living batting two and a half. And we'll go, well, hey, that's good. But we'll look at a God who gives us 100% of the truth. Hundreds, if not thousands of years before it takes place, and we'll call into question the authenticity and the truthfulness of it. How can that be? We're in this time, do you think we're living? When you look at this timeline that Daniel's laid out, where do you think we're living? Oh, ladies and gentlemen, it's the end times. Is it ending today? I don't know. Could be. Is it ending tomorrow? Oh, maybe. The beautiful thing about the Bible and prophecy is this. It tells you to be ready whenever. In the time of those kings, the God of heaven will set upon a kingdom that will never be destroyed, nor will it be left to another people. It will crush all those kingdoms and bring them to the end, but it itself will endure forever. This is the meaning of the vision of the rock cut out of a mountain, but not by human hands. A rock that broke the iron, the bronze, the clay, the silver, and the gold pieces. The great God has shown the king what will take place in the future. The dream is true, and its interpretation is trustworthy. Now, Nebuchadnezzar knew what he had dreamt. And I'm sitting there thinking in my sanctified imagination, he's going, oh, Daniel, you're batting 1,000, brother. And if you can bat 1,000 on that, now the only thing I have to doubt on what you've said it means is, do I believe it? Isn't that the same way today? So have you figured out who the rock is? The rock that brings it all down is Christ the Lord. And as God's kingdom is established here on earth, and it grows, and it grows, and it grows, and it supersedes, destroys, and pushes aside all earthly kingdoms. Why? Because only one kingdom shall reign forever and ever and ever. And ladies and gentlemen, by faith today, you can rejoice if you're a part of that kingdom. If you are not a part of that kingdom, it is time to be fearful and reconsiderate of where you are today. Because the kingdom is here and it is growing, and the prophecy given by Daniel thousands of years ago will take place just as God said. The question on the table is this: are you ready? God's obviously prepared. Matthew 21 tells us this. Jesus said to them, "Do you never read in the scripture? The stone which the builders reject, this became the chief cornerstone. This came about from the Lord, and it is marvelous in our eyes." The chief cornerstone has laid the foundation for the kingdom of God, and it grows, and it grows, and it grows, and you and I get to be a part of that growth process. Then King Nebuchadnezzar fell prostrate before Daniel and paid him honor and ordered that an offering and incense be presented to him. The king said to Daniel, "Surely your God is the God of gods and the Lord of kings and the revealer of mysteries, for you were able to reveal this mystery." Can I say this? Recognition of God is not the same thing as repentance to God. Amen. Just because you believe there's a God, the Bible says the devil believes. Nebuchadnezzar recognizes the God, but it's not the same as repentance. And let me go one step further. In moments of crisis like Nebuchadnezzar, in moments of crisis like COVID, in moments of crisis like Snowvid, in whatever that moment of crisis that you're in, this is what I know to be true. Crisis may cause you to consider God, but only conviction will keep you with him. Countless are the people I have seen in the moment of crisis. Oh, they recognize God. Oh, they want God. But when the pressure is relieved, so is their interest. There will be a lot of people who miss heaven because they thought that just recognizing that there was a God was enough. And that's not what the Bible says. You must be born again. You must believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and receive his payments for your transgressions. Oh, just believing in a God isn't enough. It's a great starter. It's a great primer, but it's not the end. A great crisis may cause you to consider a God, but only conviction will cause you to remain with him. The king placed Daniel in a high position and lavished many gifts on him. He made him ruler over the entire province of Babylon. He's the vice president, ladies and gentlemen, as it were. And placed him in charge of all of his wise men. So all of those that were called first are now sitting second fiddle to Daniel. Now, I would have to imagine that some of those guys are a little bit embittered. Because, you know, why do we want to play second fiddle to this Hebrew? But they need to be a little bit thankful, because if Daniel hadn't stepped in, can I remind you of a simple phrase? Leadership is influence. Daniel is now second in charge of all of Babylon. Is that a position of influence? You bet. Moreover, at Daniel's request, the king appointed Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego as administrators over the province of Babylon, while Daniel himself remained at the royal court. They were his governors. If I could put it in a modern context, if Daniel's the vice president, then Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego become the governors. They're the understudies, the underhelpers. Leadership is influence. Do governors have influences? I think so. Let me quickly give you three keys to be useful to the Lord. First, there must be submission. Submission of your mind, of your heart, and of your will. God will never force you to be a part of his plan. A lot of people want to be a part, but to be a part, it begins with the submission of our mind, our heart, and our will. Secondly, there must be a preparation. Once you've submitted, there must be a preparation. You have to get coached up, trained up, experienced up, to be prepared. Like the old coach once said to us, you need to practice like you want to play. In church today, too many people don't want to be the preparation, but they want to play the game, and they lose time after time after time. Because their faith is an inch deep, but the problem is a mile wide. We must be in submission. We must be about preparation. And then lastly, we must be about the execution. You can submit and you can prepare, but you know what? You got to get off the bench. You got to go do. I've sat and looked at my lawn many a times, submitted to the idea that it needed mown, prepared because I have a mower and gas, but guess what? It still needs an execution, which these days is me picking up a phone. Hey. Church, God's got a plan, and God's got a process, and God's got a purpose. And if we want to be a part of that, now, can you be saved and not be an active part? Yeah. Yeah. But you need to understand, when you get to heaven, you're going to have to answer for that. Jimmy, what did you do with the one and only life that I gave you? What did you do with the spiritual gifts that I gave you? What did you do with the biblical teaching I gave you? What did you do with the family of faith I planted you in? What did you do? And you go, Just look to the cross. I want to be in the game. I may lose sometimes, and the truth is I do. If I can bat 300, Jeffrey, I'm pretty happy about that. But I'm gonna dig into the box, and I'm going to take my cuts. And if I'm going to fail, and I will, I'm going to fail forward. Church, we got to be back to the moving forward. We've got to try and strive and purpose and plan. And you know what? If we fail, all right. Next. Can I ask you a question today? How's your preparation going? Are you submitted? Are you preparing? And are you ready and willing to execute? Because we're entering into a season in which it's time to get back to work. And I want you to be an active part of that process. It has been a long year. And the shadow of the lost year is not completely gone from us. But my friends, with faith, I believe it is passing. And we need to be prepared and ready. Cautiously, respectfully, mindfully. Not foolishly, but we need to be ready. With that said, let us pray. Father, I thank you for today. And Father, I thank you that in all of the things that we do not know, you know. Father, I thank you that you are always on time. And I confess, Lord, I don't appreciate that as often as I should. But you're the same yesterday, today, and always. Father, we have a world of Nebuchadnezzars, as it were, Lord, that have dreams of things that one day will simply become dust and chaff and be swept away by the breeze of eternity. Father, help us to be a Daniel in our Babylon. Father, help us to be submitted to you in all facets, in all quarters. Father, help us to be diligent about preparation. Lord, what we'll need will not come easily and will not come by accident. And then, Father, help us to execute. Lord, we just want to be what you want us to be. Lord, give us the wisdom to know when to speak up. And Lord, give us the wisdom to know when to keep our mouths closed. And Lord, give us the wisdom to know the difference. But Father, let the way that we live continually, persistently, and loudly proclaim there is a God in heaven. And our world is in desperate need of him. Father, we thank you for today. We thank you for your word. We thank you for Daniel, who stepped into the breach and executed your testimony before a king who needed to see the God of all gods. Father, we pray that you would bless us, that we in return might be a blessing. Father, we love you and we thank you for Jesus, who is the foundation of the kingdom by which we live, by which we long to be an even greater part of. Father, may your kingdom grow and grow and grow. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So your homework this week is read chapters 3 and 4 a couple of times. We'll be in chapter 3 next week. So thank you guys for being here. I hope that you have a great day. I hope that you have a well week as you get out and going. And I hope that you'll reach out and invite some folks and just touch base and maybe they'll come see you. We're, 2 weeks out from Easter communion, 3 weeks out from Easter. Is that right? I think so. It's coming soon. It's a great time of year, isn't it? All right, let's stand together. Our worship team's going to lead us in our closing song.